Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Miller and Condon here on a Tuesday on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO, where we're going to talk sports with you for the next couple of hours. Thanks for spending some of that time here with us, the BMW of Des Moines guest list. We will start at the bottom of the hour, baseball conversation. Our friend Matt Snyder from CBSSports.com, he covers Major League Baseball there. He will join us as the playoff teams are set. There are still a couple of things up for seeding purposes that we can get into. But for the most part, I think the fields it's coming together for Wild Card Weekend that begins on Friday and will conclude on Sunday. So Matt Snyder, be first up. Dave Sinekin is going to join us. He covers the Packers for Zone Coverage. Now, the reason we want to get him on the air today is, I believe it's tomorrow, he's part of a charter that's headed over to London to catch the Packers and the Giants. He's taking a group of Packer fans over there with him. So I want to get some of the particulars on that. You know, as much as if to go see one of those games, I obviously would have to leave Ankeny.
Yeah, that's a big but.
That
big
is
ask.
For me.
Yeah.
That kind of seems like fun. I mean, you watch the people in the stands, and you see all the pubs and the pub crawl on the Friday and the Saturday leading up to the game on Sunday. You know what, Trent? That kind of moves my needle.
Eric Zamora?
Yes.
He was over there and saw a lot of his pictures. Yeah.
For the Vikings game?
Yeah. And
very nice.
Looked like he had a great time. You know, they were...
Where is he now? Is he over in Eastern
Cedar
Iowa?
Cedar Rapids, yeah.
Yeah, that's what
and
I thought.
And just looking at the pictures, I mean, just looked absolutely incredible. Like you said, hitting up the pubs and doing all the thing. And
eating some fish and chips.
Right, cool stadium, you know, just a different way, a different kind of viewing experience. It looked like he had a really good time. So I'm with you. Now, a little more difficult sell.
Yeah, two kids. No, I get it.
Well, not just that, but my wife's a Vikings fan. I'm a Bears fan. Yeah. They're not going to put a divisional game over there.
No, probably not.
You wouldn't think.
But it would still be pretty cool. I would love to, you know, spend a couple of days and tour rural England.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the castles and stuff. And I just think it'd be fun.
You can do it this summer.
No, well, there's no game on this summer.
Well.
Oh, there's baseball over there, though.
There's baseball.
Who's playing? Is it... Cubs cards?
That sounds right.
I think it is.
How about you hit that? I also won two tickets to the British Open.
You know what? I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
You were part of the lottery draw.
I hit the lottery.
And how many years have you been playing that in the Masters lottery?
Oh, Masters probably 15 and British Open maybe 5. Something like that. Never had anything on the Masters.
It's not the whole four rounds, though, correct?
Right. It's an individual day, and I happen to get Saturday tickets for the British
pretty
Open.
Good.
I mean, the best one.
Yeah.
Where you can actually watch it on TV, the final round that really matters the most.
Where is the British next year?
It is at Liverpool, Royal Liverpool.
And, of course, you're going to do what with those tickets?
Maybe we'll talk to some clients. If not...
That's not bad.
StubHub.
Yeah. So you actually get... You can resell them.
I got to check into that.
Yeah.
I also got two kid tickets that came along with it that are free.
That's unbelievable.
If you win the lottery and you get kids under 18 also get into the event.
So how much do you think that's worth of that prize package that you won?
I looked at the tickets, and for a Saturday round, normally they go for $250, $300.
Now, are we talking pounds or are we talking
American
dollars?
I did the conversion, yeah, to make sure on that too. But yeah, it's $250, $300, something like that.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Well,
now I got to see if I can actually sell them.
Or find a client that might want to head over there. But it does seem so fun. So anyways, back to the BMW Des Moines guest list. Sinekin is going to join us on the Packers. Recap last week, preview this week. But as much as anything, I want to find out what they're going to do over there. Because it does look like a pretty cool time. What's the price point of that, do you think? I mean, obviously, you can spend as much as you want. And you can stay at a Super 8 or you can stay at a Four Seasons.
You do one of those. Those are always more expensive when you kind of have that all-inclusive package with everything, with the charter flight and everything included. I don't know, maybe $5,000, double occupancy, something like that, 10 total for you and somebody to go with you.
Would you rather do that or one of those Viking River cruises? Because that looks pretty cool, too.
A Viking River cruise?
Oh, you don't watch TV. You know, I wrote that in my notes over the weekend. I got to ask Condon on Monday at some point. Trent, the Andy Reid State Farm commercial, it is priceless. And you're going to look at me and go,
huh?
Huh?
I never stay on the
channel. How can you not see? I get it. You got two kids, and when a commercial comes, it's kid time.
Yeah.
You know, leave me alone. Dad will be with you in a minute. As soon as they go to commercial.
Uh-huh.
This is the last play of the quarter. I'll be right there.
And it's running over, and it's fixing a toy, or it's getting a snack, or it's doing whatever it is.
Yeah, bath, running a bath.
Or, uh-huh. And you've got the feet up in the recliner, just
waiting for 8:30. But it's really good. It is really, really good. You know what else is a good commercial? And I know you haven't seen this one. The Davante Adams Taco Bell commercials.
I have seen that.
You
one.
Have?
Where he's got the Taco Bell in his house?
Yes.
Yes, I have seen
Have
that
you
one.
Seen the new one that came up where breakfast hours just changed as he's walking down the hall from his bedroom into the... And they switch from breakfast to lunch. And who hasn't that happened to, right? When you're going to McDonald's drive-thru or whatever, and it's 10:59, breakfast is over. Sorry, there's nothing we can do, and you're so pissed off anyways.
Yes.
But the Andy Reid commercials. Really
I'll put it on the list.
Yeah, you have to. It's terrific. It's terrific. And I know I'm not alone. At least I don't think I'm alone in feeling that way. The game last night. What did we learn last night about this NFC West in particular? And I get it's overreact to one game, but are we? Because I'm not sure. I think the Rams clearly have a Super Bowl hangover.
Yes.
And maybe it's OBJ that they miss.
Mm-hmm.
And how about the spot that he is in? He essentially, after week 10, can look at the standings, look at the roster, who needs help, and where might I repeat? And choose that team, assuming they have cap room.
That's a really good spot to
be.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, I mean, he's got everything there. You know, with the Rams... I think you're right. It's that hangover.
Mm-hmm.
They're still talented.
Yep.
It's not a talent question, I don't think, with them. They just figure, you know, we'll show up, we'll go 10-7, get to the playoffs, and see where they might go from there.
And they might.
Yeah. They're not going to get a top two seed.
I don't think
They're not going to win, I don't think, that division.
Uh-uh.
But they're still talented enough that they're going to get there.
Yep.
And the Stafford injury that looked concerning in the preseason. It's fine now, right?
I think, yep.
Yeah, he's fine.
I mean, he got how many sacks did he take last night? 6 or 7?
He was being brutalized.
Oh, my God.
What do we say about the 49ers, though?
Well,
a team that we are both heavily invested in.
And we've both said 2 through 53, it's as good a roster as you're going to find in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
And Garoppolo last night was good. No. Yes, he was good.
He was good.
I was going to tap the brakes a little bit. You know what? He was good last night.
And Deebo Samuel is great.
Well, he's really good. And so was George Kittle in that touchdown pass. Well, God, Kittle, does anybody have more fun? I mean, I'm sure it's a list of players that
his
have fun
in the
NFL.
His first catch of the day. You could just see the smile on his face.
Absolutely.
And,
finally got targeted, made a tough play, was surrounded by Rams, and Jimmy G put the ball right into that very tight window. And, good game. The Niners are going to be a pain in the you-know-what. Now, obviously, injuries are going to play a huge factor.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep Nick Bosa. Unlike his brother Joey, he's going to miss significant time. I have Rams. No, I don't. I have Niners. Chargers is my Super Bowl pick. I kind of feel good on one of the sides.
It would be the San Francisco
side. It's the San Francisco side, yeah. Injuries have just decimated, I think, the Chargers. And then when I realized the Chargers, and what was I thinking as you remind me?
The 49ers, this is what they have coming up. At the Panthers.
Win.
At the Falcons. Atlanta's better than
you
think. Yes.
Yeah, better than we thought.
Home for the Chiefs.
Wow.
Great game.
Wow. What is that a prime timer?
3:25.
All right.
And then at the Rams, another 3:25 before their bye week. So these next 2 weeks, though, if we're talking about San Francisco putting themselves in position to be, you know, 2-3 seed, something like that, you got to get these two roadies.
Where do you rank them in the NFC? Are they behind the Eagles in your mind?
Yeah. I mean, they still have 2 losses.
Uh-huh.
And
how did Denver beat that football
How did the Bears beat that
team? No, I know.
Yeah.
Right?
It's week one. The NFL.
It's more so how did the Bears beat them than Denver, because Denver's kind of a better team than the Bears. Boy, the Bears are bad, man.
They're awful.
They're terrible.
They have 2 wins, and I don't know if they'll double it. They'll double it, but not much more than that.
Yeah. It's.
I have a ticket for worst record.
Do you?
With the Bears.
You're still very much alive.
I'm alive in that one. Houston's 0-3-1. Houston's, and the Bears have a win against Houston.
Yeah.
Houston's a better team than
if it would have, should have, they should have, they should have beat Denver. They should have beat Denver.
They should have won week one.
Mm-hmm. Davis Mills isn't awful.
He's fine.
He's okay, right?
He's a placeholder until you find the next guy.
There's worse quarterbacks in the league.
And then he'll be a very competent backup for a very long time.
Right.
That's not a bad place to be.
No, it's not. I'm with you. Yeah, Niners are going to be so you put them behind the Eagles and the Packers? I think Green Bay's beatable.
They are beatable. New England had them on the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
But Bailey Zappe.
How about that? Bailey Zappe. You know what? I mean, Brock Purdy was one hit away from getting into that football game last night against those Rams. I never thought in a million years that this kid would be in this spot. Good for him.
Yeah, not at this point either.
No, absolutely
you're
not.
You're three or four.
Yeah, practice squad. Yeah. He's going to move around. He's not going to stay in one place because he's not going to be good enough to stay in one place. Mm-hmm. But good for you, Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't played a snap in the regular season yet, but just the fact that he's put himself in the position he is in, good for him.
And how many times is that? I mean, think of like Ricky Stanzi. He was a backup for 3 years.
Yep.
And he
never threw a pass.
Never threw a pass.
Yep.
In an NFL game, even as the backup.
I thought I missed on him. I thought he would because I liked his arm.
I did too. I thought he had enough mobility mm-hmm. that he'd be able to stick. Now, he stuck around for 7 years.
Was it that long?
6-7 years. I think that was the range that he was in the league, but never got that pass mm-hmm. attempt. That's got to be frustrating, too.
Yeah, if he's in a lot of team pictures, and if he was on the roster, because I think it's 3 years your NFL pension kicks in.
Is that what
you
it
know
is?
Who told me that? Tyler Sash told me that. We did an event together at Prairie Meadows. I don't know. It was after their Super Bowl win because he bought his Super Bowl ring. And we were giving away a trip to a Hawkeyes bowl game. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which one it was. But we had some time together, and he couldn't have been any nicer.
Really?
He really couldn't have been.
Yeah.
Just picking his brain. And he told me that, and was that the year he was hurt, that he needed to get to the end of this year so he'd be vested in the NFL pension plan. Rest his soul.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right, so but just a couple of notes on baseball. We're going to talk to Matt Snyder at the bottom of the hour. Albert Pujols, the beat goes on, right? I mean,
crazy.
703. Not only did he obviously pass 700, but now he's past Babe Ruth as far as number two all-time is driving in runs. What a career. What a story that continues to be written. And again, we said it with like 15 seconds left in the show yesterday, but knew we'd get to it today. What the Cardinals did on Sunday, taking out the three you know, cornerstones of today's franchise in Adam Wainwright, Albert Pujols, and Yadier Molina at the same time and allowing the sellout crowd at Busch to salute that trio was really cool television.
It really was. It was the Cardinals organization, no surprise, doing things right. Mm-hmm. Best fans in baseball. And yep. We can make fun of that because it's very
it's beating, every fan base
it's
in baseball.
There's beating always, their own chest.
Sure. But there's always a portion of every fan base that's that way.
Absolutely. There's a little arrogance in the air, but when you have an organization that well run,
right?
You can puff your chest out because
death, taxes, Cardinals is in the playoffs.
And we have our team set now in the Major League Baseball playoffs.
So we're essentially waiting on two things, right? We're the sixth seed in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of the Braves-Mets. Braves lost yesterday. Mets rained out. They'll play a double dip today. Braves win one game, and it doesn't matter what the Mets do.
Yep.
They're in. So I think you can put the Braves, you can move the Braves into the playoffs as the two seed.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals are going to get the three seed.
They will get either the Phillies right now or the Padres.
And what's left for that? What do the Padres need to do? Win a game or have the Phillies lose a game?
Padres and Phillies are separated currently by a game. I don't know who has the tiebreaker between the two if it gets to that point. But now the Padres are a game up for the fifth seed. Now, who would you rather play? The Padres or the Phillies go into this week knowing you're either going to play the Mets or the Cardinals. Well, the Mets are going to throw out a 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm.
Of Scherzer
although they
DeGrom.
Did this past weekend and the Braves hammered them. Now that Braves was a pretty good lineup.
Yes, but that was also one weekend.
Uh huh.
Looking at a big picture, you got to win 2 out of 3 on the road.
Yeah.
Who would you rather do it against? The Mets with those two, or the Cardinals? It's an easy decision, isn't it?
You'd rather play the
Cardinals
rather
be
every
the
day.
Sixth seed right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You would rather
every
be
day
the sixth
of the
seed.
Week.
Now here's the other thing: if you do pull off the upset and win that,
here you go.
Here is the Dodgers that have won 110 games this season.
Well, look, eventually you would think you're going to have to get through them anyways to get to where you want to get
to. Is it better
to
play them early as opposed to late?
That's just it.
Shorter series.
And it's a good point. It's a 5-game series, mm-hmm. and they won't have played in a week.
Yeah, you get that game one. Mm-hmm. They're a little lethargic, whatever it is. You win a 2-1 game.
Yep.
Off and running, and now all of a sudden you're 2 games away from moving on to the NLCS.
Trent, that's brilliant. The divisional series is 5 games.
You want the 6th seed,
yes.
is what we're saying.
Yes.
You would rather have the 6th seed as opposed
to the 5.
I think in the
American League as well, you'd rather have the 6, wouldn't you? Cleveland's playing well.
They are.
I think whoever plays Toronto, and I think it's going to be Seattle, I think Toronto gets to host. They're the 4th seed. They've locked that up. So they're either going to see Tampa Bay, who give them fits, or Seattle, who's got a pretty good 1-2-3
start. Well, Robbie Ray was bad in his last start. He has not been great here as of late.
But going back to his old team where he won the Cy Young the year before.
Now, the Gilbert kid, he's been incredible. And the depth of these young guys, of course, Castillo, who they got in the trade deadline from the Reds.
Who would start out with? He'll start on Friday.
I would think so, yeah. I mean, that's a
him
good...
versus Manoa?
But you don't have to worry about that Seattle crowd.
No.
I mean, in that first round series, it's it's all there.
Although the Toronto crowd is going to be pretty amped up, too.
Oh, yeah. Dave Sims, who had the
call.
What
a call.
As Seattle ended the longest drought in North American sports history, not being in the playoffs. An incredible walk-off call.
Home run walk-off call.
Heard him yesterday. He was on the Tony Kornheiser podcast. And just hearing his story. He was a newspaper writer.
Is that right?
He was a newspaper writer for a long time. Started to do just a little play-by-play. In fact, Bill Cosby got him the job at Temple. Bill Cosby before Bill Cosby of what we know today. But got him the job at Temple. He's like,
That's where he started.
And then...
Doing basketball?
Doing basketball. Basketball and I think football for Temple. Started to get some, you know, side gigs, ESPN Plus, whatever it is, one of those type of things. And it went from there. And ultimately got the job with the Seattle Mariners. Still is in New York. In the offseason. But yeah. A really, really cool story and a good guy and one of the few African-American broadcasters.
Yes, he is. True.
In Major League Baseball. I think there was only three guys that he named. Just has been something that not been able to. Also, we know the TV guys, postseason comes.
They're out.
They're out.
I mean,
the Mariners, though, are going to have him do some eddings on
radio. I was going to say, some they're going to elbow their way into the into the radio
booth. As they should.
I agree. If you're the radio guy, it's, you wonder. No, I think you got to understand, right? Those guys, if it, even if it's 4, 5, and 6, they got to be part of the broadcast.
Absolutely.
I mean, you think Dan McLaughlin's not going to be a part of it, right? Of course he's going to be. I totally understand it. So, betting-wise.
Oh, okay. I see what direction you want to go here.
You can't bet the...
You can't take a team that
the
gets
Dodgers,
a
bye. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I was going to say, but I think the Yankees are beatable.
I think
they're very beatable. Of the four teams that are going to get the bye, how would you rank those?
Dodgers,
Astros, Braves, Yanks?
Yeah. I think we have it in the same direction. Yeah. I think that's good. So let's get the numbers up here, and let's take a look and see what the future numbers are. We're talking to win a World Series or win a pennant?
Give me the World Series.
To win the World Series. Well, those top four are your favorites. Dodgers +315, Astros +385, Braves are 5-1, and the Yankees are 11-2 +550. So we get past that group. The second the first choice out of that next tier is the Mets. They're 8-1.
Because of that heavy hits at the top of the rotation.
And then here's this gap.
You from 8-1 you just
from
said?
From 8-1.
To double digits, and what is it?
Two teams are both 20-1.
That big of a gap?
The Cardinals and the Blue Jays are both 20-1. They are next on this list to win the World Series. Seattle and the Padres, 28-1. The Phillies, the Guardians, and the Rays are all 33-1. So all those teams are your long shots at 33-1 to win the World Series.
Is there one that moves your needle? A big price? A double-digit price?
Maybe your Blue Jays, just because they can rake so well.
And they've got Manoa, and they've got Gossman, and if they get Barrios on a good day, they've got Romero at the back of the bullpen. He's really good. You know, I got them. I'm holding the World Series ticket. I've got them at 9-1.
I have them before the season. I got them, I think, at +1250.
Yeah, so you're even better than me.
Yeah.
I got them at 9. Good God. I could get them at 20-1 here after the whole season when I had my money tied up.
Anybody long shot jump out to you?
Yeah, Toronto.
Yeah,
but I'm a Jays fan, so you got to take that with a grain of salt. Cleveland's a nice story, but I don't think they have a chance. No. I don't think the Phillies have a chance. No,
Padres have talent, but not that much.
I got a bunch of Padres tickets too.
So out of the top group, you just laying it with.
I'm already looked at. I don't have a single ticket on the Yankees. I do have the Braves. I do have. A bunch of Dodgers and a bunch of Astros.
Okay, you're in good shape.
I think I am. I surround these things, Trent.
The Yankees will win the 2022.
Well, that's
World
just
Series.
It. And you know what? And then who knows going to win the Super Bowl? The Chiefs. Because I'm not going to buy a ticket on them, too. I leave out a couple. I never make a huge profit. I got a chance to. But as long as I get my money back, I feel like, you know what? You had a ball. And that's how I like to bet sports. So I hate betting games.
You haven't been great at it.
No, I'm not good at it. I don't want it. I hate it. I hate looking at a game through a gambler's eye.
Yeah.
I get pissed off, and I don't think I do my job properly. I think I bring it over to 10 to noon.
Don't want that.
No, absolutely not. Speaking of that, we're going to give away some tickets to the KXNO Bash. Boy, the response to this has been really, really good.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time.
So have you heard the kind of the particulars about the event?
No. There's going to be alcohol, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, that's that was number one for me.
I haven't heard a lot, but I guess we're all going to be on the stage at one part. At one point, did you know that?
No.
See, we don't get the...
Do we have to sing a song?
I don't know what we have to do. We don't get the company emails.
We don't, no.
So, Trent and I aren't employees, if you're new to our show, yeah. Right? We're not. All the rest of the crew is. We have a different arrangement here. So we don't... But apparently, we're going to be up on the stage at some point.
Interesting. So we got to talk?
Well, what else
we
got to do?
A show? I mean, are we just, you and me, just going to banter about sports and gambling?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know what we're going to do, but we'll find out. But anyways, it's going to be a fun night. The station's 21 years of age on January the 1st. I remember vividly when the December, they launched on January, I think it was the 1st of 2001. December of 2000. Working at the Jock with Dyer, 940's a sports station. Are they the ticket? The ticket. Big ticket. And 1460 went into what they call stunting.
Okay.
And they did a clock. And what are they doing over there? What's coming? There was kind of the buzz, right? And then we found out it's going to be a sports station. And all of a sudden, from being told 4 years ago that, look, sports talk is just not going to fly in the Des Moines market. It's not big enough. There's no professional teams. This is a waste of time. It is never going to work. We've done our research. 4 years later, there's about to be three. So our thought process at the Jock was, it's the same people that have WHO. It's probably, don't just ignore them, because it's in all likelihood going to have some backing behind it.
Yeah.
But our thought, well, who the hell are they going to get to put on the air?
Yes.
Because there wasn't a plethora of people that, you know, could
had
do
a name.
This. That's just it, right? Not that Terrell and I did necessarily. Maybe I did more than him because of Prairie Meadows.
Sure.
But yeah, so that's... And then they went live. So anyways, if you want to come out and be a part of this, we'll give you an opportunity later in the program to win that opportunity to come out and join. There's going to be hundreds of people there.
It's going to be great. It's going to be such a
Woolies.
Fun time. You think
November
you're sneaking out
10th.
Real early? No, no. You're going to have a fun time.
No, I'm sneaking out real early. Not real early. I do want to be, if
Let's
we do
go
on
Uber.
This... When we're on the stage and everybody's looking at the stage, I'm going to sneak out the back.
That's your plan?
That's the plan.
I'm going to lock that.
Anyways, we'll take our first time out of the morning. We're going to talk baseball when we come back. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Watch the Andy Reid commercial.
I will. Okay. I'll put it up right now.
What, you can find it?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Did anyone tweet the Miller and Condon account that seen and said, Condon, how can you not see this?
No.
What?
The only thing that we got, I think, this morning was that the Phillies have the tiebreaker over the Padres. Phillies will get the end of
because you put that up.
Yep.
Well, interesting. It's going to be fun. October, folks, it's the best month, and I refuse to listen to anybody else that says it's not. I just won't. March is good.
It's great.
October's better.
October's good. It has football.
It has conference football. Trent, the 1 week from tonight, I know you're pumped up. It's the start of the NHL season.
Oh, God.
NBA? When do they
great
start?
For you.
When's the NBA start? Aren't
Soon.
They October?
Yeah.
And they're in preseason. Keegan Murray went bananas yesterday.
He did.
See
didn't
that?
Even start.
He's going to be really good, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he is.
Did you think so?
No.
I mean, this time last year?
No.
Of course not, right?
No, I
did
thought...
Okay, so fast forward to February. What kind of pros are going to be, Trent?
Fine.
Yeah.
Could he be a star? Could he be an all-star? Could it be one of the top 30 players in the league?
Can we reconvene?
Yeah. Need to see a little more. One preseason game, not good
enough.
No. And a couple of summer league games.
1025, Miller and Condon, Matt Snyder next, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Hey there.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On 106.3 KXNO, here's Ken and Trent.
Bobby Thompson had done it, and Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born, marijuana we would scorn. So down on the corner, the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball, Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball.
That was a different world, wasn't it? It just seemed like
Fella, the scooter.
Just different times. Good stuff. Miller and Condon, welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. We are talking baseball, and we're doing so with our friend Matt Snyder, who joins us every single week during the regular season, throughout the playoffs as well. Then we get him in the Hot Stove League, and we're grateful to do so. Hello, Matt. Welcome. How are you?
I'm excited. I'm maybe trying to lay low the next few days if I can before a big month. But it's always a lot of fun.
No, it truly is, and I'm with you. I saw your tweet a couple of days ago. I think you used the word giddy some point, and I felt, you know what? I feel the same way as my friend Matt Snyder, and can't wait. I mean, these next two nights, Matt. So tonight and tomorrow night, there's seemingly not going to be, once we get to Wednesday, I'm not sure how much drama is going to be left, right? Because Washington, the Mets, got a double dip today. It might be meaningless if the Braves take care of business. What's left? Might we have something to watch tomorrow night that'll go a long way in these playoffs, at least the wild card round seeding-wise?
I don't know. Surely the Braves aren't going to lose again to the Marlins. If they do, and the Mets, if it's a doubleheader day, would win both, then there's something there. You've got wild card seeding there. So it could be important, I guess, on the NL side. If you're either the Padres or the Phillies, maybe you would rather play the Cardinals and the Mets, but the Cardinals are really good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, and on the AL side, now that the Guardians had such a good month, it's not like it looked heading to September where you would have thought, if you're in the position of the Mariners and the Rays right now, you should be throwing these last two games to try to face the Guardians instead of the Blue Jays. The Guardians are actually good now. So it's more just who's going to play whom in the wild card round, as long as the Braves don't choke two games against the Marlins, which that seems like it would be more in the Mets wheelhouse than the Braves.
Certainly has been.
I don't really think there's that much intrigue there. I mean, we still are seeing if Judge is going to hit 62, which I feel like almost everybody's tired of that by now.
Yep.
So it's more like we're just kind of laying low until Friday, I guess.
So the playoff schedule is out. Of course, we don't know what teams will be at one point, but it's going to be wall-to-wall baseball starting on Friday afternoon and leading up through that opening three-game salvo. So our first look kind of at this structure of the playoffs. Before it begins, your thoughts on it, how you feel about it, how excited you are about it, and are there any tweaks that could be on the horizon, or do you think this thing is here to stay here for at least the next couple of years?
Well, anytime you add playoff teams, it does devalue the regular season. Whether we go all the way back to when the regular season champions just met in the World Series, I don't think it would have been horrible if we just went straight to a Dodgers-Astros World Series right now, for example. But like I said, anytime you add teams, it devalues the regular season a little bit. Mm-hmm. I do like, even though the one-game wild card format was really awesome, really fun to watch, it makes more sense to have three games in a wild card round. Baseball is a game of series. And I think ultimately, even if it does devalue the regular season, the games themselves are going to be so fun to watch. And we've got so many playoff games. And with it only being a three-game series in the first round, every single game takes on added significance. So game one, it's going to be like it's already, you know, a 2-2 series in a seven-game series, and you're in game five, you know, and we all know how big a game five is in that case, because then you're almost on the verge of clinching it if you win. So that's going to be really fun just to see how many games there are. And, you know, we'll see how it turns out getting through the gauntlet. But I think historically speaking, if like the Dodgers win 111, 112 games and they don't make the World Series, that's just another example of how much we've devalued the regular season. But in the moment, watching the games unfold, it's still going to be really fun.
Let's do some managers before we get back into some of these matchups. And then, so I do want to get to the positive, because this Orioles, I loved this story. I really did. I mean, they're going to finish above 500, which is, well, yeah. They're 500 right now. That's the worst they can be, assuming they beat the Blue Jays tonight or tomorrow. But manager, we saw Tony La Russa, his career seemingly come to an end. Now, there was some reports that he's still wanted to manage. This was last week. I think Cappy told us that. David Kaplan told us that at one point. I can't see that happening. It clearly didn't, you know, work out the way that they thought it would, him showing up on the south side of Chicago. What do you think White Sox fans are saying about the La Russa era with the White Sox?
I think they're cursing it. They did make the playoffs last year, but It often felt like, man, they should be a little better. They should be better. And then they got bounced by the Astros and the ALDS, so they didn't win a playoff series. And then this year was a colossal failure. And to the point that, give him credit for being accountable, but in his statement, La Russa just straight up said, hey, I failed this year. I didn't do my job. And it's only been a two-year stint. So I think you have to look at it as a net failure. And that stint, yeah, it was just a bad hire from the get-go. And I think a lot of us knew that and believed that it wouldn't turn out well. And it was easy to say, well, they won the division the first year, but it wasn't a very good division overall. And the White Sox had a ton of talent. They could have won with a lot of different managers. It feels like Rick Renteria has now gotten the raw end of deals twice.
Yeah, good point.
It did work out with the Cubs winning the World Series, and we don't know for sure if he would not have won the World Series, but it just seemed like just because Madden became available, Renteria got kind of screwed mm-hmm. there. And then on the White Sox move, that one just made no sense at all. Yeah.
Let's go to the Twins. My team, speaking of
what
disappointments, it has been epic. And Ken and I are both holding tickets over 78.5 wins.
I had the money spent.
And now we need to win the last two games of the year to get over the hump and get that victory. And so it means a little hedging starting tonight with the White Sox. But that aside, Falvey and Levine, they've improved the organization as the GM and assistant GM roles that they have. But going to the scrap heap year after year for bullpen has not worked. The starting pitching that they haven't worked. If they just stay healthy, and the guys have not stayed healthy. I'll overlook at the organization as a whole and the future. There's talent. Health is a concern.
Yeah.
Pitching has not worked, though, like it had for both those guys at their previous stop.
Yeah, they definitely – well, I mean, first of all, they won 73 games and finished last year. Mm-hmm. So it is a step forward, even though it's been a major collapse. But they did put a lot of resources into the major league product this year, and it looked like it was coming to fruition there in the first 6 weeks to 2 months. And, ever since then, in starting pitching – it looks like the Joe Ryan move was a win. But other mm-hmm. than that, you know, going out and getting Bundy and Archer, those, I've said it before, those kind of looked like Band-Aid on a broken leg mm-hmm. type moves. And it was a desperation move, like, please, please, please have this work out. Sonny Gray trade made sense, mm-hmm. and he's been good. But, again, it's just a lot of it was patchwork. And like you said, in the bullpen with the scrap heap, and some teams can do that. Teams like the Rays, they have a good infrastructure in terms of, you know, run prevention. And that's why they're able to plug in arms, almost any arms of teams. And a lot of teams now have these pitching factories, and they get guys in AAA who are kind of retreads, or they have never been a major leaguer, and they're finding out ways to exploit every single strength they have and get them into the bigs. It's not working for the Twins, so they need to find a way to switch gears there with the pitching. Offensively, they're probably in a decent enough place with enough pretty good players that even if they lose Correa, and I expect them to, I would trust them enough on that end, but it's more on the pitching, and it just doesn't seem like it's working. So I don't think you can get rid of them yet, but, man, and maybe another year, and if they're still stagnant and sitting in the 70s and wins, it might be time to move on.
I'm with you. Speaking of that, will the Royals move on from Matheny? You have to think that they will.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my guess is that they're going to go the way of the Tigers. Those were two of the older school front offices of baseball, and the Tigers just hired Scott Harris, who came from the Cubs under Epstein, and then the Giants under Zaidi. They're going to go more new school now. It looks like the Royals, which would probably go in that same direction. And if they bring in a more new school mind, Matheny just doesn't mesh there. So he'll be out as well.
One more. If the Yankees get bounced in the divisional, is Aaron Boone in any trouble? I mean, they're going to win. They're not probably going to get to 100. They got a chance. They're at 98. But is he in any trouble if they get bounced in the divisional round?
Don't think so. Every indication is they love him and he's not going anywhere. And it might have been a question if they continued to limp toward the finish after that horrible August. But they've gone 19-7 in their last 26 games now at this point, and they've righted the ship and are again running away with the division. And if the sequencing of their season in terms of their win-loss record was different, and we just at the start of the season said, with two games to go, they're going to have 98 wins and have clinched the division and have a 7-8 game lead in the division, everybody would have said, oh, man, that's probably better than we thought they were going to be. So he wouldn't have been in any trouble at all. So I think ultimately them getting the bye to the LDS round and winning the division in going away fashion, I think he's fine.
Over two decades, Seattle gets in. We've talked about them. I didn't realize until last night, it'd been since 2011 that the Phillies had not qualified.
Yeah.
That's a proud organization. Man, what a disaster that last decade's been in Philadelphia.
Well, it came to such a screeching halt, too. Remember, they won 102 games, maybe, in 2011, and the Cardinals bounced them in that Game 5 where Chris Carpenter, I believe there was a shutout in Game 5. It's a play where Ryan Howard tore his Achilles on the last play.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
And then the next year, they just went 81-81, and that was that. Roy Halladay retired. Cliff Lee, I believe, moved on, and they had to go into their rebuild, and it hasn't gone as well as it could have. I mean, they had the number one pick in there, and it was Mickey Moniak, and they just traded him in that deal to get Brandon Marsh. So they had a lot of things not go right in the course of that rebuild, and they needed this extra wild card, a sixth playoff team, to even be able to get in the playoffs. The funny thing about the Phillies is, and I've said it multiple times probably on this show, is they do have enough talent that if everybody was right at the right time, they could win the World Series. Mm-hmm. If you look at the rotation with Nola, the way he threw last night against the Astros, Wheeler, Ranger Suarez, if you look at the offense, if everybody got going, they've got a bunch of power hitters in that lineup to where they could go on a serious run. But you could also see them completely melting down and just getting swept into blowout games as well. So it's one or the other with these guys.
I want to go to the manager of the year of the National League. I mean, Dave Roberts' team's going to win. They've already won 110. Might he finish fourth? I mean, Snitker, what he's doing. Showalter, what he's done with the Mets. And what Marmol has done with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
How would you vote?
Actually, we just submitted our awards, and I actually did put Dave Roberts first.
Did you?
And my line of thinking was, everybody, those just the names you named, those four have a great, great case. And I thought about Buck for a second. Mm-hmm. They ended up not winning the division, but they still could win 100 games.
But they were up 10.5 at one point. I mean,
yeah,
that's a collapse.
I obviously thought about Snitker and Marmol as well. And I think there's a strong case for any of them.
Yeah.
But I was just looking at the Dodgers' record, and I thought they have faced adversity. They have faced adversity with their position players between Muncy's struggles mostly early in the season, Bellinger struggling all season. They've had injuries in the rotation, and they have 110 wins. 110.
Yeah.
And I just kind of thought, you know, just because their expectations are high doesn't mean he should get screwed over in this vote.
Yeah.
So I put him first.
I mean, I'm glad you did, because you could make a case for the other three against the guy who won 110.
Matt, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Take the teams that'll have a bye off of the equation. To win the whole thing, to win the World Series, there's a big gap between those top four teams and everybody else. Out of that remaining group, who would you pick to win a World Series?
There's a decent number of them that have a good case this year. That's fun. The Mets, I think you have to circle back. It's easy to blame them for a collapse or whatever, but they still might win 100 games.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you've got Scherzer and DeGrom and Bassett in the rotation. You've got Edwin Diaz at the end of games. Mm-hmm. You've got Pete Alonso sitting in the middle of that order. If everything starts clicking, they're absolutely a strong threat. On the AL side, the Blue Jays are a very strong threat as well. Gausman, Manoah in that rotation, if Berrios gets going as well.
Romero at the back of it.
Yeah, and that offense, when they're humming, man, they're top to bottom can really, really hum. I'm interested on the Mariners. I don't think they have near as much talent. The offense is way too inconsistent. But, you know, with Rey and Castillo in that rotation and one of the two youngsters, and then they have four solid back into the bullpen arms, if they can get Julio back and get him firing. And if you look at the names in that offense between Eugenio Suarez and Jesse Winker and Mitch Haniger, if everybody started to kind of be their version of their best self, kind of what we saw with the Braves last year, and you saw guys like Jorge Soler and Eddie Rosario raking, if everything clicked like that for the Mariners, they could absolutely make the run. I'm not predicting it. I don't think they will. But it's just something to think about there.
I'll get you out of here on this. When we reconvene next week, the wild card will be behind, and I believe will be on the it'll be the day that the divisionals round starts, because I think Monday they're off. Anyways, regardless of that, it'll be either Tuesday or Wednesday next week it starts. Which three seed is packing the stuff away after this weekend?
The Guardians might be. Mm-hmm. I know they've been really, really good in September, but the competition hasn't been the best. And being hot going to the playoffs doesn't always mean everything, because you look at the Guardians themselves in 2017 when they were the Indians. They were 33-4 down the stretch, and then they lost in the ALDS to the Yankees. The Cardinals are not going to lose this round. Whether they end up playing the Padres or the Phillies, I don't think matters. The Cardinals will win in advance. I do think the Rays or Mariners pose a big, big problem for the Guardians, though.
Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Matt, as always, love this segment. Thank you for doing this. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thank you, Matt.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Good stuff out of Matt Snyder. Just real quick on this before we go to break, something he said at the beginning of it. Sick of the Aaron Judge, the cut-ins.
Me too.
Who writes the stuff for Sound Off on Channel 13? Did you say, I mean, they're so good. For a local show, did you watch? I didn't watch it. They put out those clips, right?
Yeah.
So Keith Murphy, it's about time he apologized, right? So he starts to apologize. And 10 seconds into his apology, they cut into an Aaron Judge. Who is the brains behind that over there?
It's a team effort.
They're really good.
They are.
Locally, that's awesome. Anyways, good stuff out of you guys over at Sound Off on WHO TV 13. We'll take a timeout. We're on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
Men's.
All right, Miller Condon. Welcome back. Final couple of minutes here. First hour of the program. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Just saw this local this tweet from Las Vegas locally. Do you follow that?
No.
I don't either. But Darren Revell retweeted it.
Okay.
Nevada dispensaries sold $965 million worth of marijuana in 2022.
You were at least a quarter of that.
Well, I mean, some of that dollars are mine. That's true. $152 million in tax revenue. $152 million. My gosh.
Come on, Iowa.
Never happened, TC. Never happened. Anyways, enough about that. But I just thought that's a pretty big number, is it not? Holy mackerel. Just bananas.
Speaking of Twitter, last night I sent out a tweet that, I received a lot of comments back for it.
Oh, is it about the response to Pat Hardy?
Yeah, so Pat Hardy just threw out a tweet last night, as we saw, of course, Alaric Jackson playing for the Rams and talking about the 2019 offensive line, Treston Wirfs, Alaric Jackson at the tackle spots, and in the middle, Tyler Linderbaum.
Do you remember between Alaric Jackson and Treston Wirfs, wasn't there a debate, at least early, which one of these two is going to be better?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Right?
There was a lot of talk now.
Uh-huh.
The gap's pretty significant. Wirfs is one of the best in the league.
Right.
Jackson's good.
Mm-hmm.
Going vegan. Kind of wonder after that he wasn't maybe quite the same guy. Mm-hmm. But regardless, he's a starting tackle in the NFL.
No, you're right.
It's pretty good. That team, finished 97th in the country in rush offense. Who was the offensive coordinator?
With bookend offensive tackles, they're both starting in the NFL.
And a center that is starting in the NFL.
Yeah.
Now, guard play wasn't good.
Right.
Paulson struggled.
But three of the five were pretty strong.
You're also in charge of recruiting.
Uh-huh.
You get three, and you still can't run the football. Three starting offensive linemen. There's this lazy narrative out there, and it's happening a lot. When you talk about how brutal Brian Ferentz has been as an offensive coordinator, it's awful. Well, this is just Kirk. It doesn't matter who it is. Greg Davis is bad. He was a lot better than this. Mm-hmm. Ken O'Keefe, take a look at those numbers. And not just the 2002 team, consistently put at the very least a competent offense on the field. Competent. Not great, but okay.
Average.
Average.
Yeah.
This is nothing close to this. Brian Ferentz, his first year, 117th in the country in total offense, 92nd, 99th, 88th, 121st, and this year, of course, 130th out of 131 teams in total offense. This is incompetency. This is worse than it's ever been before. Do not blame Kirk.
So how does it end? Fast forward.
Roll it out. Same thing again. Because
next year, you mean?
Oh, Kirk's not firing his son.
I don't think he's. I don't think he. I don't. I agree with you, but I don't think he'll have to. I don't think he'll have to. I think Brian will do the right thing.
He won't.
I think he has to.
His arrogance is through the roof.
Yeah, but it's
he thinks he knows the game better than anybody else.
Maybe he does. But
I mean, Docterman and Lysakow, they had to sit and listen to that dribble for 6-7 hours. Mm-hmm. Good God. You couldn't pay me enough.
I think, Trent, that he has to off himself.
He won't.
We'll see.
And we know Gary Barta won't do it.
No, we know that. We know that for sure. And I'm with you. I don't think Kirk will, but I think... Yeah, we'll see. Hour two, we're going to talk football, NFL. Vinny Iyer is going to be here at 11:30 from the Sporting News. He covers the NFL. We'll do the league as a whole. But we're going to start with Dave Sinek and the Head Cheese.